Your place in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to be alluding to a lot of scripture this morning, and you can turn to as much or as little as you desire, okay? Because I'm giving you a topical message. Most of the time that we preach from here in the pulpit, I'm preaching through books, verse by verse, so to speak. But the Lord has laid on my heart a different direction today. I'm going to be giving you a topical message, which means I'm going to be going to different places within the Word of God, talking about a certain topic. And I want to preach to you this morning on this topic: broken things. Broken things. That's the title of the message. Good to have the Wills here and so on. It's always good to see you, precious people. It's good to have your daughter Jennifer and precious husband. And this is your family, I take it. Is that correct? Great to meet you folks. Good to have you here. And we're thrilled to have you here. They've moved here, talking about Jennifer and so on, and the children. And we are thrilled to have the whole family. God bless you. And we look forward to you all helping us win people to Christ and going after it and helping us to get with this. So praise the Lord for it. Broken things this morning. Broken things. Let's pray together. Our Lord, we rejoice in our heart for who you are. And I thank you today that you can use broken things. I pray that you help this message to be clear. May it be precise. And may the will of God be made evident to us. And may we truly leave here today broken before God, so that you can use us the way that you desire to. Take full control of this service. Take full control of my mind, my heart, my words. May it not be my mind or my heart or my words. May it be your mind, your heart, and your words. Deal with us thoroughly, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been broken? Truly broken before God? I'm not asking, have you been broken to the point of no repair? That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, have you been broken before God? Going into the Lord's presence, broken before Him. I want to submit to you that as I did this Bible study, that I came across several things in the past that God used in a mighty way when they were broken. But they had to be broken first. And I just want to give you these thoughts. We're going to be going to several scriptures, and I'm going towards the main thought now of, are you truly broken before God? Let me give you number one here. First of all, now you're in Matthew chapter 14. That's point number two, so just hang tight with me there, okay? Number one, just talking about broken things, broken things. First of all, I want to give you a story about broken pitchers. We see this in Judges chapter 7. You don't need to turn to it, but you can write the passage down so you can read it later. The entire chapter. When you read that chapter, you'll see one day long ago, the Lord told a man by the name of Gideon that there were too many people in the army with him to fight the Midianites. The Lord narrowed his army down until there were only 300 left. If you remember the story, you can read it later in Judges chapter 7. The reason I'm just giving you these passages is because if I turn to all of them, I don't know how long this message would take, okay? So just Judges chapter 7. I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. In this time of battle, where they were tremendously outnumbered, Gideon divided the 300 men with him into three companies. Now each man had a trumpet, had an empty pitcher, and lamps within the pitchers. Gideon and the 300 men came to the outside of the camp of the Midianites, and he told these 300, these three companies, he said, "Watch us, and what you see us do, you do the same thing." So what they did is they blew the trumpets. The Bible says, and I quote, they break the pitchers. They broke them. They broke the pitchers. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And when you read Judges chapter 7, you'll notice that when these three companies followed suit, when they blew the trumpets, they broke the pitchers and they cried out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The Lord gave Gideon and the 300 in the army that day a great victory. And I maintain to you that one of the things he used to give them a great victory is he used broken pitchers. They had to be broken first. Point number two, you're right there in Matthew chapter 14. In verses 15 to 21, as I just talk about this story, you can read those verses if you'd like to in Matthew 14, 15 to 21. We not only see broken pitchers, but number two, we see broken bread. This is the story here where thousands had gathered. They had gathered around the Lord, and this crowd was hungry, but did not have food to eat. This is the story where there is one little lad, there is one little child. This is the only miracle that Jesus did that's recorded in all four Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, right here in Matthew 14. It's recorded in Mark, Luke, and John. Well, in the account in John, the Bible says there was a little lad there, and you look that word up and it means a little child. That little child had a lunch that day with him. He had five barley loaves, which were the size of like a good size cracker, and he had two small fish that, according to my study, was about the size of a good size sardine, if there is such thing as a good size sardine, to eat as a relish with the crackers. But remember, he gave his lunch to Jesus. And in that passage in Matthew chapter 14, verses 15 to 21, you'll come upon these words that the Lord Jesus, when he got the lunch, he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples. The emphasis here is that when the Lord got this bread, the Bible says he took it, he blessed it, and then he broke it. And when he broke it, he told the disciples to come and start getting it, and they kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back until the Lord fed with five crackers and two sardines 5,000 men, not including the women and children, not including them. There's thousands gathered here, and he takes five crackers and two sardines, and he stuffs them to the gills, and there's 12 baskets of leftovers. But before he ever did the miracle, he broke the bread. Broken things. He used broken pitchers in the story with Gideon and the 300 and gave a mighty victory to 300 men who were majorly outnumbered, but God had them break the pitchers, and God gave them a great victory. God used broken bread in Matthew chapter 14 to feed hungry thousands of hungry people with just five crackers and two sardines. Number three, if you'd like to turn to it, you don't have to, but in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, we see another broken thing, and that is we see a broken body. In these verses, we see the Lord was giving instructions during the Last Supper, and the Apostle Paul is alluding back to this, and he talks about what happened during this time of the Last Supper. You can read in the gospel accounts the literal event that took place. When you go to 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 and 24, this is just alluding back to whenever the Lord was with the disciples in the upper room, the Last Supper. And in those verses in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 and 24, here's what it says. It says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." He broke the bread and said, "Take, eat," get this now, "this is my body," look at it, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." While not one bone of the Lord Jesus Christ was broken on Calvary, not one bone was broken, not a bone, he told the disciples that night, "There's not going to be a bone broken, but my body will be." The broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say this to you? Has God used the broken body of Jesus Christ in your life? Has God used the broken body of the Lord Jesus to give you peace? To forgive your sin? To save your soul? To change your life? I was alluding to this in Sunday school, talking about how the Word of God teaches that He was so marred, I'm talking about when they beat Him and plucking His beard out of His face and hitting His face and just smiting Him terribly on His face and taking the crown of thorns, putting it on His brow and ripping His back off with a cat of nine tails and putting spikes through His hands and through His feet. All these kind of things. The Word of God teaches that He was so marred beyond human visage. And that word visage means, from what I understand that to mean, it means that if we traveled back in time after they had beaten the Lord Jesus, after they had smitten Him and spit into His face and ripped the hair off His face, He's standing there with all this beating that's taken place. According to what I understand about that passage, is if we'd have looked up at Him on the cross that day, that He was so beaten and He was so bruised that He was beyond human form. The Lord's bones were not broken, but His body was. And God uses broken things. Because His body was broken, I am on my way to heaven. Because His body was broken, I have peace that passeth understanding. Because His body was broken, I'm going to walk on a street of transparent gold. Because His body was broken, there's hope beyond the grave. God uses broken things. He used broken pitchers in Gideon's life and gave him a mighty victory. He used broken bread and fed multiplied thousands. He used the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring salvation to the world. But I submit to you, and this is where we will spend the majority of our time today, that God also uses broken hearts. The Word of God says in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 147:3, "He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds." Psalm 51:17, the great revival psalm of David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. David cried these words, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." The word broken here means hurt. It means burst. It means to break in pieces or crush. That's what it means. The word contrite, where it says broken heart, contrite heart, broken heart, contrite spirit, the word contrite means to collapse. It means to crouch. Let me ask you a question. Has your heart ever been broken? Has your heart ever been crushed? Has your heart ever burst inside? Has anything ever happened that caused your heart to collapse, to crouch, to break in pieces? I remind you that if you've had a broken heart, or if you have one now, by the way, what we need is a broken heart that leads to brokenness before God. Just because you have a broken heart doesn't mean you're broken before God. But I'm telling you that just like God can use broken pitchers, and just like God can use broken bread, And just like God can use a broken body, if your heart is broken, God can use a broken heart. If that broken heart is taken to God, I want to ask you, do you have a broken heart? If you do, you're at a crossroads. The message I'm trying to get across is that when God breaks something and we're truly broken before God, God can use it in a mighty way. But when your heart is breaking, you're at a crossroads. You will either get bitter, turn away from God, blame God, and get upset, or that broken heart will drive you to your knees, begging God to help you. And may I say this to you, that when a broken heart drives you to the feet of God, it can be one of the best things that's ever happened in your life. Within the pages of Scripture, there are different times when we see people with a broken heart. A study of these different people and what was going on in their lives can speak to our heart today. Because the fact of the matter is that these same type of situations where we see people with a broken heart who went to God are the same kind of situations when our heart breaks. And I want to remind you that if your heart is broken or if your heart is breaking, that the devil will try to take a broken heart and get you far away from God. But if your broken heart drives you to God and you get broken before Him, broken and contrite before Him, begging Him for His help, begging Him for his guidance, begging Him for His strength, I'm telling you that God uses broken things. Let me give you several of these things here. This is all under a broken heart. Different times that people had a broken heart in the Word of God. Letter A under this, it was during times of personal affliction and sorrow. The passage I'm going to give you again, I'm not going to read all of this because it's a lot of Scripture. You can take it home and read it. The passage I'm giving you is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 to 15. When you read that, God willing, later, this is the story of a woman by the name of Hannah. She is married to a man by the name of Elkanah. This man is married to two wives, which means he had real problems, amen, mentally. I'm not speaking out against women, I'm just saying, please, I hope you understand that. Am I digging myself deeper here? That is not against the women, I promise you. Hey, my mind's cloudy. You know what I'm saying? I've got head things going on. I think the Lord made me do that to make you feel sorry for me this morning, you know? But you read that passage of Scripture, and you'll notice that something's wrong with Hannah. The Bible calls it an affliction. Something causing her sorrow and something taking place in her life that was causing her to weep. What it was is that she was barren. She had no children. Back in this day, it was majorly looked down upon if you had no children. Thank God it's not that way today. Because God gives life. And I may be speaking to somebody here today that you're married and you're unable to have children. Please don't let this bother you because the Lord knows all about that. And if He doesn't allow you to have children, there's a reason. We don't understand that. But I know this. I know that when Hannah was afflicted, her heart broke. When Hannah was having personal sorrow, her heart broke. And when you read that, you'll notice that she was brokenhearted, going to God, weeping, begging the Lord to give her a baby boy. The Lord heard and answered her prayer and gave her Samuel. what a man of God Samuel was. The point is during times of personal sorrow, personal affliction, our hearts can break. And when your heart breaks, God can use broken things. But you must go to God and ask Him to use it. If you're in personal sorrow, personal affliction, something going on that you didn't choose for yourself, and it's got your heart broken and you're crying and you're weeping, I'm talking to a crowd, and in a crowd this size, more than likely there's somebody you cry yourself to sleep at night because of what's going on in your life. You don't understand it. It's sorrowful. It's affliction. It's causing you to fret and worry and all these kind of things. And I'm telling you, it's broken your heart. All I'm trying to share with you this morning is that whatever breaks, when it's given to God, God can use it. Is your heart broken because of affliction? Is your heart breaking because of a personal trial? If this happens, don't let that cause you to go away from God. But do what Hannah did with a broken heart and affliction and go to God and beg Him for help. I'm not saying He's going to answer your prayers with a yes like He did with Hannah, but I'll guarantee you this, God's in the habit of putting broken hearts back together. God uses broken things. Secondly, we notice someone who had a broken heart during personal sickness. The story here is found in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. What I'm doing today, friends, I'm just giving you a Bible study, pointing you down the road and letting you go home and study it yourself, okay? That's what I'm doing with all these passages. Go study it. Go look at it. Broken hearts. There's a man by the name of King Hezekiah in that passage. He was sick to the point of dying. And the news comes to him and says, set your house in order, for you're going to die and not live. When this happened, the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and he prayed unto the Lord. Here's what the Lord said. Listen to this. He said, Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Do you get it? God said, I know your heart is broken. Hezekiah, when he had a personal sickness, something that was sucking the life out of him, something that he never chose for himself, when he heard the news that this sickness was taking him to an early grave, his heart crushed. His heart broke in pieces. His heart broke before God. What did he do? Did he get mad, angry? No. He turned his face to the wall and he shed tears and he asked God to have mercy. God said, Hezekiah, I've heard you. I've seen your tears. And I'm going to give you 15 more years. What's the point here? The point is that our hearts can break when we have personal sickness. There's some of you right now who are going through the trial of your life. Some who are listening, some who will hear this later, that there's a personal sickness. There's a personal, sorrowful sickness that has broken your heart. It's crushed you. It has your heart laying in pieces. That personal sickness that breaks your heart can either cause you to get bitter, angry, and questioning God and lay in pieces. Or you can turn your face to the wall where nobody else can see but God and let the tears come down your face and let that broken heart cry out to God. God uses broken things. Your heart can break during personal affliction, during personal sickness. Number three, your heart can break during bad news. You ever see bad news? Traumatic news? News that you never saw coming? The passage I give you here is Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. When you read that passage, if you do later, you'll notice that you see Nehemiah ask some of the people concerning the Jews and concerning Jerusalem, his city, his people. They share with him how his people were in great affliction and reproach. This is all in the opening chapter of Nehemiah chapter 1. Also, they shared how the wall of Jerusalem had been broken down and the gates were burned with fire. When Nehemiah heard this, all he did was say, "How are my people doing? How's my city doing?" And he finds out that the people are in affliction. They're being reproached. And the wall is burnt down, broken down. The gates are burned with fire. When he heard this, the Bible says in that chapter, he sat down and wept. He cried and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The Lord heard his prayers and used Nehemiah to help rebuild the walls in 52 days. The point is that when Nehemiah heard distressing, traumatic, bad news, when he got a bad report, it caused his heart to break. But he took his broken heart to God. And God used his broken heart to rebuild the walls around the city. God used a broken heart to do a mighty work for God. Have you ever received a bad report? You ever received distressing news, traumatic news? You ever gotten a phone call that took your breath away? You ever wondered about something, but the news that you received completely took you off guard, and it feels like somebody punched you in the stomach and you can't catch your breath? Has it ever happened to you? When that happens, your heart can break. That's normal. But you're at a crossroads. You either get away from God and blame Him and say, "Where's God?" or that broken heart will break you before God. And you fall down at His feet begging Him for His help. And God can take that broken heart and help use you to do something mighty. God uses broken things. Let me give you a couple more here. I'm going to bring you down to the main thought that I'm trying to get across. Number four, letter D. We notice in the Word of God those that had a broken heart during repentance. During repentance. Those had a broken heart during personal affliction, sorrow, during personal sickness, during a bad report, during repentance. The passages I'm going to give you here are Psalm 51 and Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. Psalm 51 and Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. In Psalm 51, this is the story of King David. You remember the story of when, at the time when kings go out to battle, this is back in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, I think it is. At the time when kings were supposed to be out on the battlefield, David stayed at home. When he stayed at home, he went out one evening and he looked and his eyes were surfing and he saw a beautiful woman by the name of Bathsheba. She was a married woman, but she was bathing herself. And he saw her. When he saw her as the king, he did not look away, but he began to lust after her. He began to desire her and he called for her. He finds out that she is a married woman, but it doesn't matter to him at this time. His flesh is out of sync, and he's just reaching for everything he has, everything he wants. Long story short, they have an adulterous relationship, and she's now found with child. He sends for her husband, Uriah, who's doing the king's battle. He's fighting in the king's war. He calls for Uriah to come home, and he tells Uriah to go home and spend the night with his wife because he knows that if that man goes inside the walls of his own home, then when the news comes out that his wife is expecting, they would just think that the conception took place during that time when he came home for that one night, you see. He's trying to cover his sin. The man had too much character to do that, and he refused to go home. Long story short here, David writes this man's death warrant, gives it to him, sends it with him to the army. He gives it to Joab, and Joab reads the news that the king says, put Uriah on the front line of the hottest battle and withdraw from him that he may die. Joab does that. Uriah is killed in battle, and now David is not only an adulterer, he's a murderer. News comes back that it has been done as you have requested, and about a year goes by. And then God told a preacher, his name is Nathan. Nathan came into King David's room and he said, there's a traveler that came to a certain man who was rich and had all kinds of animals and sheep. When this traveler came and he was hungry, the rich man, instead of taking one of his many sheep, he took the one poor ewe lamb of this poor man that raised it just like a pet, raised it just like his own child. But this king was so stubborn, he had all these hundreds of animals, but instead of taking one of his many, he went and grabbed the poor man's ewe lamb and killed it and ate it instead. David got mad. David said, that man should die. He'll restore fivefold, I think it is, and he will die. Nathan, what a man of God, pointed his finger in David's face and said, thou art the man. David's heart crushed. David's heart broke because of his sin. And he pens Psalm 51. And in that psalm, he's getting right with God. He's repenting of his sin. And here's what he said. The sacrifices of God are a contrite spirit. Verse 17. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You turn to Luke chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. This is the story of the woman when Jesus is sitting in the house of one of the Pharisees. Jesus is reclining there, his feet turned back around behind him. And a woman comes in with an alabaster box. The Bible says she stood at his feet behind him because when they knelt down, they would bend their feet behind him. So she was at his feet and her heart was broken. She began to cry at the feet of Jesus Christ and her tears were hitting his feet. And she was taking her hair and drying his feet with her hair. You remember the story. The man of the house said, if the Lord was who he said he is, I'm paraphrasing, he would know who this woman is. All she is a sinner. The Lord knew what he was thinking and said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Suppose that there's two people who owe the same person something for a debt. One of them just owes a little, but the other one owes a whole lot. And say he forgives them both. Which one do you think is going to love him more? The one he forgave the small amount or the one he forgave the huge amount? The Lord knew how to shut people up, friends. And the man even said, well, I guess the one who he forgave most. He said, I came into your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears. And I'm telling you that her sins, though they be many, her sins are forgiven her. And he turns to her and says, your sins are forgiven you. You know what breaks our heart? At least it should. Our sin. And when your heart is broken because of sin and you come in repentance to God with a broken heart, I'm going to tell you what, friends, you beg him for his forgiveness and he will forgive you. Amen. God uses broken things. Let me give you the final way that in the Word of God that, I mean, there's so many other things, but the final way that I see that our heart can break in the Word of God. Our heart can break during personal affliction, during personal sickness, during a bad report, during repentance of sin, but our heart can break, in closing here, during the death of a loved one. We see this in John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we see Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, is very sick. And they call for Jesus to come. The Lord stayed right where he was, remember, for 2 days. And during this time, Lazarus died and he was buried. Remember the point that when he came, Martha came out to him, and Martha fell at his feet and said, "If you'd only been here, our brother had not died." He calls for Mary. This is all in John chapter 11. You can read it later. When Mary comes to the Lord, the Bible says she fell at his feet, weeping, crying. Her heart was broken because her brother, her loved one, had died. When the Lord saw her weeping, the shortest verse in the Bible, but yet one of the most profound, in my opinion, the Bible says Jesus wept. Did she have a broken heart? Yes. But what did she do with it? She put it at the feet of Jesus. The Bible says he groaned in himself. His heart was breaking with hers. He helped them that day by going to the grave and said, "Take away the stone." They said, "Lord, by now he stinks." He'd been in the grave 4 days. Corruption had set in, so they thought. They rolled away, and he calls out Lazarus' name, and Lazarus comes forth. The point I'm trying to get across to you here under this point is that broken hearts can take place when people who are precious to you on planet Earth die and go out into eternity. I know that a majority of us in here, if not everybody here, with the exception of small children, has lost somebody that was very dear to us to death. And during that time, oh, how our hearts break. How our hearts crush. How our hearts are put in pieces all over the floor. But during a time of a broken heart, during the death of a loved one, learn the lesson of Mary. She was even questioning him, if you will. She fell at his feet crying and said, "If you'd only been here, he had not died." She's weeping, brokenhearted. And the Lord weeps with her. Friends, has death taken a loved one from you that has caused your heart to break? Has your heart been broken? If so, whether it's because of a death of a loved one, or whether it's because of personal sickness, or whether it's because of just an affliction, a trial you're going through, or whether it be because you've got traumatic news, or whether it be that you've sinned terribly and you just don't know what to do with that sin and your heart's breaking, you feel terrible. If your heart is breaking and you have a broken heart, learn the lessons of all these people. Every one of them with their broken heart went to God. By the way, you're not the only one that has ever had a broken heart. This is another sermon. I'm just going to list this for you. I'm just about done. You do a Bible study of the times that Jesus cried. There are three times. He cried here at Lazarus' death. He cried when he saw Jerusalem. And he wept over Jerusalem, saying, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." The Bible says he wept during this. And then in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 to 10, it alludes to the fact that the Lord was weeping while he faced the cross. Read it. He was with strong tears. As a matter of fact, let me read it. Don't turn to it. "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest. He that saith unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, capital S-O-N, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know what challenges my heart about that passage? It's according to those verses, as the Lord faced Calvary, we believe it's alluding to the Garden of Gethsemane. But as he faced Calvary, and he was asking his Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. Remember that? If thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. During that same time, according to the book of Hebrews, we believe it's the same time that he's alluding to is the time when the Lord had strong crying and tears. It broke his heart of what he was getting ready to do and have to go through. But aren't you glad in his brokenness? He went to his Father and he said, not my will, but thine be done. In all these stories, Gideon in the broken pitchers, little boy in the broken bread, the Lord in his broken body, and all the broken hearts in Scripture, we see something in all of these stories. Something was broken. The miraculous victory over the Midianites with just 300 men had broken pitchers. The miraculous feeding of the thousands with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish had broken bread. The miraculous salvation of our souls was made possible by a broken body. And the Lord moved in people's lives who had broken hearts. The point I'm trying to get across is God loves using broken things. Only God can take something broken and do amazing things with it. In the Word of God, He used all these broken things. And my question to you, which is the message, is not, are your pitchers, your bread, your body, and your heart broken? My message to you is, are you broken? Are you broken? Am I broken? The interesting thing about this life is God can use us the way He desires only when we are broken before Him. Let us gather and get broken before God, because God uses broken things. I trust the Lord has helped you understand the main thought that we're trying to get across. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes, please. Our Lord, I thank You for the power of Your Word. And I thank You that You are a good God. You're a God that uses broken things. And I pray that those who are broken today will be used of God in a mighty way. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you this question first. As they get ready, they'll begin to play through softly. Have you truly trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you a born-again child of God? Are you saved? Are you trusting Christ and Christ alone to get you to heaven? Never been a time you've done that, please. Please. Today's a day of salvation. Come, let us take a Bible. Get broken before God like that lady with the alabaster box, falling down at the feet of Jesus with a broken heart over your sin. When God sees your broken heart, He'll forgive your sin, change your life. come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm born again. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Say, pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a broken heart. It may be a personal affliction. It may be a personal sickness. It may be traumatic news that you've heard, or it may be the death of a loved one. If you're here today and say, Jody, my heart is broken. My heart is broken. I have a broken heart. Be honest, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, my heart is broken. I have a broken heart. Upstairs and down. Yes. You raise your hand, I want you to listen to me. That broken heart can be one of the best things that's ever happened. If you take your broken heart to God, fall at His feet, weeping. Even if it doesn't come out your eyes, your heart is crying, begging God for His help. Maybe today say, Jody, whether I have a broken heart or not, I get the message that the message is not about a broken heart. The message is about a broken person. I understand it. I get it. And you say, Jody, pray for me that I truly will be broken before God in a way that God can use. Just like He used the broken pitchers, the broken bread, the broken body. He can use the broken heart, but what He's trying to do is He's trying to break us so He can use us for His glory and honor. Have you say, pray for me. God is speaking to me. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. I believe God is speaking to me. Yes, God bless you. I'm going to have Brother Gary just to begin to sing. If God's dealing with you, I want you to come to this altar. Would you do that as he sings? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to come. Get broken before God. If you need to come and make your profession of faith made known, if you've been saved and never made it public, you come now. Would you do that? Chad and Jennifer Armstrong. precious children. Both their families here. God bless you. We met with them this morning. And Jennifer really just coming home. That's what she's doing. Chad, we're looking forward to getting to know you better and serving along beside of you and you serving along beside us. God bless you. They know the Lord as their Savior. They've been baptized in a church of like faith, and they desire to join this church by letter, the church where they're coming from, a church of like faith. And we're thrilled that you've made this decision. We're happy about all this. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them by letter from their church of like faith? If I can get the pleasure of the church, Brother Marty, Brother Bob Edwards, all in favor say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So Carrie, it's official. You're with us now. That's great. We've got a package of material for you. I want you to stay there, and I'm sure our folks want to come by and greet you and all of that. Precious little ones, praise the Lord. I hope you're happy they're here. Thrills my heart to have couples like this coming this way. And we're here for you. I want you to know as your pastor, I'm honored. And if we can serve you, help you, please let me know. I'll get Brother Gary to do it, okay? I'm just kidding with you. All these kind of things. We're so thrilled to have you here. God bless you. This is Ashley Walters. Which one's Ashley? This is Ashley here. Betty Reed. And Barbara Cologne, three ladies here. Two of them were saved on visitation this week. We praise the Lord for that. And Ashley asked the Lord to be her Savior during Sunday school today. And we praise the Lord for that. Have you all are happy that they've trusted Christ as their Savior? Would you say an amen? Amen. And I want you to know that we're here for you. If we can help you, serve you in any way, let us know. Stay in that discipleship program. It'll be good for you. We're thrilled that you all are here. God bless you. Amen. It's always good to have people making a public profession of faith. We give God the glory. You'll be back tonight, 6:30, right in your place. Deacons, I remind you of the deacon meeting at 5 o'clock. The Armstrongs are here. These three ladies are here. If you want to come say a word to them, that'll be great. Let's pray we'll be dismissed. Brother Ron Smith, sir, if you will dismiss us in prayer.
Thank you, dear Lord, for the mighty work you've done today. Thank you for these that have come forward to receive you as Savior. We ask your guide and director, give them a good path walk with you. Thank you for the new members joining our service. We ask your guide and great care. We ask also, dear Lord, for our sick, our shut-in, those who can't be with us, we ask that you give them a touch of body. Give them also aid. Now look to you for answers, sickness, whatever may be in their life. Thank you for all that you've done this morning. We ask you to be with us as we go out. We ask you to be with us tonight. Again, as the message is preached. Thank you for this message today. And ask that you will guide and direct us. And we might put ourselves in a position to be broken for you. Ask your God and direct.